This season on Mountain Men, Marty Meierotto faced his toughest season ever in Alaska.
Nothing.
Making only $4,000.
Marty, this is all you get.
And leaving his family in a precarious situation.
We want to put meat in the freezer.
The meat is food for Dominique and Noah.
In Montana, Tom Orr endured hungry predators encroaching on his land.
There's a bear hanging around here real close. That's him. Boy, the big old sucker.
Putting him way behind schedule.
We got a lot of work to do, but I know the grizzlies, they're still out cruising.
And in the Blue Ridge Mountains, Eustace Conway fought to protect his home from poachers.
Hey!
And the courts.
This is justice?
Forcing him to take matters into his own hands.
I'll never give up.
I'll fight to the death.
Late winter is the wettest time of the year in North Carolina's Blue Ridge Mountains. Temperatures can vary as much as 40 degrees from day to day. After a late evening rain turned to snow overnight, there's a light dusting on the ground.
You never know how a day is going to go. It depends on the weather. Nature is doing what it's going to do.
The unpredictability of the weather makes doing anything this time of year difficult for Eustace Conway.
So we adjust our plans to nature.
He's worked hard all year to maintain his property, and he's still trying to deal with his upcoming court date.
They're getting ready to take away all of my land. They're demanding $85,000, and if I pay that off, then I keep my land. But I don't have $85,000.
Despite not having the money to pay off the lien against his property, Eustace has saved enough for a lawyer, so he must travel by horseback into town as a last-ditch effort to save Turtle Island.
I'm just going to go saddle up and go in, you know, and fight for my land.
Preston has agreed to ride with Eustace, but the 10-mile trip will take them at least 5 hours.
We got to figure out somehow, Preston, to get a trail right up here.
The shortcut will shave 2 hours off their trip.
Well, it's a pretty hairy little trail that we're going to cut. It's on steep ground, you know. Around here, it's about as steep as you can stack dirt up, and it stays stacked. So, you know, one little slip, and you're going for a Watauga County sled ride in a hurry down to the creek.
When the snow gets deeper, it just takes a lot more time to do everything. The ice, the danger of it slows everything down.
The snow and ice weighs down the trees, and they can fall down without any warning. Something Eustace is very familiar with.
A widowmaker is like that big old tree up there that's dead, that's just leaning, just wanting to fall down. And if a man is walking underneath there, boom, he'll come down and smash him and make a widow out of his wife.
With the job taking longer than expected,
we were both getting cold. You got to always be thinking about it. When it's cold up here, you're always thinking about staying warm.
There's only one solution.
You brought your fire kit, didn't you?
Yeah, I got it.
Clear out a little spot right here.
While you're doing that, I think I'm going to go after a little bigger wood, all right?
Okay. We'll put it right by this rock wall to throw the heat back to us. Well, that way we'll get double our money, you might say, get twice the heat.
Having forgotten his matches, Eustace and Preston use the fire-by-friction method to light the wood. Using a bow, Preston spins a piece of hardwood, creating a coal that Eustace uses to ignite the tinder bundle.
Man, I'm glad you got that rascal going. My knees are frozen. My hands are frozen. My ears are frozen.
I'm cold myself, but I'm focusing on getting this thing going so we can eliminate that coldness.
Before getting back to work, Eustace struggles to make sense of his situation.
You know, I'd rather fight down a bear or a mountain lion or anything that was real. A damn lawyer in a suit is just kind of ridiculous. I don't even know how to deal with that.
These mountains, they mean everything to me. These mountains are my life. This land is my life.
I'll do whatever I can to defend my land.
While Eustace prepares for his day in court, 4,300 miles northwest, Marty Meierotto is preparing for another hunt. A rough winter has made it imperative that he supplies food to feed his small family.
The meat is really important because it's food for the family, food for Dominique and Noah.
Marty's caribou hunt yielded 80% of the protein needed for the months ahead, but now he must head back for the other 20%. His hunt for Dall sheep will be in the high country of northern Alaska. It's his most dangerous hunt of the year, and there's only 3 days left of sheep hunting season.
Sheep hunting is probably the most physically demanding hunt there is. It's rugged country, and you're hunting animals that can see extremely well. Not everybody can do it.
Marty's favorite hunting ground is a 400-mile flight, meaning it will take him 5 hours to reach it.
One thing you don't have much of in a cub is room, so pretty limited of what you can take with you.
Before he can leave, he needs to check his supplies.
I'm putting together starvation rations for sheep hunting because that's usually all you can carry with you. Everything has to be as light as possible. And hopefully we can find a seep up there for water because water is heavy.
One misstep in his preparation could spell disaster in the unforgiving mountainous terrain.
The consequences are worse out here just because it's so remote. I mean, this is probably the most dangerous thing I do just because of how narrow the margins are for mistakes. The plan is to always try to put the lightest to the back because we're going to be landing in rocks invariably. And the weak point on this gear is that tail wheel.
His plane and the weather are just the beginning of Marty's worries. With hungry grizzlies searching for food, he must watch his back.
Sheep country's bear country. You can get one that's a little cantankerous or wants to play king of the mountain or something, and then that's when you have to deal with a bear.
As Marty finishes his final preparations, a thunderstorm rolls in, further complicating his trip.
I've seen better forecasts, but I've seen worse, too. Not good flying weather, and certainly not good sheep hunting weather. I don't know. Weather's your nemesis. It's what you're always battling in the flying game.
Marty needs to fly, but the thunderstorm has him concerned. He only has a limited amount of time to complete his hunt.
What nature doles out, you have no control over. You just deal with it.
Marty must risk flying in the storm. He can't let his family down.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained, right?
After takeoff, the conditions get much worse.
Yeah, the weather's starting to get worse. We have to land somewhere. We're gonna dive off and land on a little spot over here.
The turbulence is so bad, there's no way he can continue. Marty must make an emergency landing. While Marty looks for a place to set down his plane, 2,500 miles to the southeast, Tom and Nancy Orr are enjoying a warm winter day.
Snow's all melting here in the Yak. The ice has gone off the river. We need to get our crafts going. And we gathered up some good materials anyhow, and now we're ready to get after them and put them all together. We got a lot of work to do.
But their peaceful afternoon changes quickly.
This is Kim Annis with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I know there's still activity with the grizzly bears in the area.
I bet you he'll be visiting everyone he visited last spring, you included.
Kim, the bear biologist, says the bear we had last fall is going to be back. But the lion hunters have already spotted male grizzly tracks that are already out of the dens.
Last fall, we had that grizzly bear in, broke into the pigeon house, grabbed some birds in the night. They usually will return.
Keeping the bear out of the shop is very important to me because they can do damage to what I have in there that is my livelihood.
With the bear population increasing, run-ins between bears and humans are becoming more common. Protecting the work he's done this winter is Tom's biggest concern.
That's where all the money is, out there in that shop. If we lose what's there in the shop, we're out of it.
Tom's not taking any chances. A high-voltage electric fence should keep the bear out.
It'd be devastating if the bear got into the shop, tore up all my hides, and chewed all the stuff up in there.
Tom only has an hour before dark. He must get the fence set up quickly.
7,000 volts, that sucker's hot.
With the fence up and running, now he must secure the rest of his property.
The last time he came here, he got a reward.
By securing the lids to all of his disposable products, Tom hopes to take away the allure of the area.
We have to make sure that when this bear does come back, he'll get absolutely no reward.
The sun sets, starting a long night for the oars.
11 o'clock at night, and who's drinking coffee?
I'll maybe go out and sleep in the shed tonight with Ellie. I'll take Ellie with me.
Oh, no.
Did you hear something out there?
She sure did.
What the hell is that damn bear? I'll bet you.
Opening the back door, Tom realizes the bear is back.
Get out of there! Yeah. I'm going to shoot this thing off, see what happens here. Yeah, get out of there! Get out of there!
Get out of there!
Oh, something ain't right about it. Don't look like it did before.
I don't like that.
With little choice, Tom heads into the night.
Hell, get out of here!
It's a real spooky feeling when there's a grizzly bear real close to your house.
With his whole year on the line, Tom has no choice but to move closer.
Just come back in, Tom.
Get out of here. Hey. The bear came back. You gotta keep your eyes out. You get killed.
If the bear is still there, Tom will be face to face with an 800-pound grizzly.
If you're attacked by them, they say to play dead. Cover your head. Hey.
Oh.
Coming up, Eustace struggles to make it to the courthouse.
I didn't know my horse was going to be as spooky as he was.
Hey!
And Marty tries to land in the middle of a storm.
Of weather like this, if you can't see the ground, you're going to run into it.
High in the Rocky Mountains of Montana, an early winter has caused a low food supply, hungry predators, and brutal weather conditions, making this one of Tom Orr's hardest seasons ever. The local grizzlies have started to emerge early from hibernation, and the bears are hungry and scavenging for food.
Did you hear something out there?
I don't know. She sure did.
Get out of there!
Tom needs to protect his inventory. He must try to push the bear away from his property.
Get out of here.
It's a real spooky feeling when there's a grizzly bear, and then your guy wants to go out and make sure he hasn't gotten into anything. Just come back in, Tom.
Hey.
A bite from an adult male is equal to 1,200 pounds of pressure, more than capable of crushing a man's skull.
If you're attacked by them, they say to play dead. Cover your head. Hey.
Are you all right? Tom? Come back in. I don't like it when this happens.
Yeah, I'm okay, baby.
Just get out of there.
I didn't see no freezer lid off or anything.
Tom, I think I saw something running down that back path when you got out there, so I think he ran off.
After going through the shed door, Tom seems to have eliminated the threat. The excitement is over for the night. In the morning, Tom assesses the damage.
Nancy got pretty excited about me going to the shop, and then when I got out there, and he did go through the electric fence, which didn't work because of the bear-proof garbage can and the latch that was on the door, he never got in the shop.
The items Tom makes to sell all come from the mountains. Many are fashioned antlers and hides, so this probably isn't the last time they'll see this grizzly.
This little trip to our house last night, we hope, was just a bad thing for the bear. There's all kinds of stuff out there in the shop, and that's where all the money is. If we lose what's there, I guess then I'd be moving to Florida.
While Tom is busy bear-proofing his property, 2,500 miles to the southeast, Eustace Conway is planning for his trip. Eustace is fighting a lien against his property, and this will be his last attempt to save his home.
This land is my whole life's work. It is my life. It's connected to me as much as my heart and liver and lungs are. It goes back to like the story of the American Indians when the white people came in and stole their land. The people that are stealing my land, basically, they're killing me.
We're going to ride into town. Eustace just asked me to ride along with him, give him a little moral support.
Now, with the snow melted, he and Preston will need to ride the new trail they blazed, which is over 20 miles round trip on horseback to the courthouse.
I think they're supposed to take my land away in a few days and go see what I can do about it.
I'll never give up. You know, these mountains, they mean everything to me. This land is my life.
Before he can begin his journey, much work must be done to ready the horse. He must fashion new horseshoes to protect the horse's hooves from the wear and tear of the pavement. And like most things at Turtle Island, Eustace does the blacksmithing himself.
Putting some shoes on some horses. We're gonna check out the courthouse legal system.
Eustace will be riding Poncho, who has never been on a highway before. He must prepare the hoof correctly or risk the shoe falling off during the ride.
I keep them barefoot around the farm most of the time. You know, there's no real need to put a lot of shoe on this horse just going on the dirt around here.
Eustace will first nail the shoe to the horse's hoof. If the nails are driven incorrectly, Poncho could end up lame after the long ride.
Watch where that goes, Preston. I'll let you be in charge of it. Good catch. And here comes another one.
Well, you know, when you get ready to do a big ride, there's a lot of prep work that goes into it. It's not like you just jump in a car, you know. You've got a lot more steps involved.
Well, that guy went on good. Yeah, good boy, Poncho. Hey, that looks sweet.
It's important to take care of the horses. If you don't take care of the horses, they can't take care of you. They can't deliver a ride to town. So if you don't have good feet, you don't have a ride.
With the horses ready, Eustace and Preston can start the 10-mile ride into town. They must hurry. The courthouse closes in 6 hours.
You ready for this, Preston?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's all about this surviving the unexpected. And if you don't take it seriously and don't do what it takes to get there, you're gonna get wiped out.
Boone, North Carolina may be a small town by some standards, but to Eustace, it's the city. The town's population is only 14,000, big enough to have traffic lights and a host of other modern ways of life that make it inconvenient for a mountain man like Eustace.
It's a beautiful piece of land that you got there. It's a shame to think that it might be going away.
Yeah, it's hard to look at it and think I might own it for a few more days.
While Eustace struggles to prepare for city living, 4,300 miles northwest in Alaska, Marty is battling the rough winds in the northern Alaskan mountain range. Marty flew into storm clouds, hoping to beat the weather to his favorite hunting ground. He has just 3 days left to harvest the final amount of protein his family needs to survive another year. Visibility is fading fast, and Marty's plane is in jeopardy of being torn apart. He must land now.
The worst thing to worry about in weather like this is if it gets so bad you can't see the ground. If you can't see the ground, you're going to run into it.
Time is running out, and Marty is going nowhere until the storm passes.
We're waiting on this weather to clear. It's raining pretty good now. It gets pretty frustrating sometimes when you gotta wait it out. There's nothing you can do.
With the temperatures dropping, Marty faces the prospect of having to spend the night in the unprotected valley.
The weather just wasn't improving fast enough, and it was starting to get late. So I just decided to set up the tent, spend the night here. So that cost another day. It's kind of frustrating. We're not going to be able to get up to the mountains. The weather's still pretty crummy.
While he's used to this waiting game, he still doesn't like it.
You can't fight the weather.
The morning breaks, and the weather has improved, so Marty makes a quick decision to head out.
It's lifting. The mountains we got to get into are higher than those. The plan for now is to load up the plane, get out of here, fly up into that sheep country.
Dall sheep live high in the cliff country of Alaska. The difficulty is getting there, and with high winds moving in, Marty's chances of making it are slim. As Marty reaches the high cliffs, gale force winds that can reach 80 miles per hour pound away at Marty's small plane. Marty has to land now. His plane will not handle the abuse much longer. In the northern Alaskan mountain range, Marty Maiorato has spent the past 24 hours trying to reach his favorite hunting ground.
The worst thing to worry about in taking off weather like this is if it gets so bad you can't see the ground. If you can't see the ground, you're going to run into it.
But bad weather has stopped him at every turn. Heavy rains and strong winds have shaken his small plane all morning. Now he has to make a dicey landing on an uneven strip of land, miles away from his normal spot. Raging, Marty must secure his plane now or risk losing it to the wind.
The plane blows away, then you don't have a plane. It blew off the mountain, and then you ain't going nowhere. You're done. The airplane, it's a wind machine, and with the right amount of wind, it's going to fly whether I'm flying it or not. And I'm working kind of fast because we got to make or not want to fly. Because the winds channel through these saddles like this, it could be enough to wreck it if the winds were that strong, gale force type winds. And we'll see what happens from here.
Marty landed over 4 miles from where the sheep have been migrating. He'll have at least a 2-hour hike before he can set up camp.
All right, I got my pack loaded with enough stuff to keep me alive for a few days.
Marty is hundreds of miles from civilization, and with rugged, steep mountains made up of loose shale, he has got to watch every step.
A man only has so many sheep hunts in him. It's rugged country. It's hard on you.
Marty only packed his starvation rations because he's hoping to have room to carry back enough sheep meat to feed his family.
It's good to be this much closer to those sheep.
But even with a tent, water, and food, he's still carrying 50 pounds on his back.
Just taking a look around. It's awesome country. It's like being in church. Or it's my church anyway.
It's remote.
This land is untouched. That's just the way I like it.
After a 4-mile hike, Marty still has to set up camp.
My fly camp set up, pretty much nothing more than a sleeping bag and a tent. A little something to stay out of the weather if it comes.
No sign of sheep. Marty glasses the area one last time before he calls it a day.
Moral plan is to stay on the high ground and run up to that ridge. And if they're not there, I don't know what we'll do. Wind's starting to kick up. Sun's going down, so it's getting pretty cold. Had to glove up, get a hat on. Just taking one last look around before I crawl into the sleeping bag for the night.
As night falls in Alaska, the odds of finding a sheep in this terrain look grim.
We'll see what tomorrow brings.
While Marty tries to make up for a tough season, 4,300 miles southeast, Eustace Conway is on his way to the local courthouse.
I think they're supposed to take my land away in a few days and go see what I can do about it. You ready for this, Preston?
Yeah, I'm ready.
He's hoping to defend himself in court.
Going to town with Preston is all about this surviving the unexpected. It's been a while since I've gone to town. I can't afford the gas, you know.
To save money, he decided to make the journey on horseback.
I'll do whatever I can to defend my land.
It's not an easy thing for Eustace, what he's going through right now. You know, the best thing that I know how to do is just to support him.
Leaving Turtle Island on the new trail saved them 4 miles, but it won't save them from rush hour traffic in town.
I wish that there was an easy way to go through, a little back road. Unfortunately, there's really only 2 ways to go through town to get to that courthouse, and both of them are big, busy, dangerous highways.
Well, Preston, it looks like we found the hardtop. This is the end of the woods. It's the uncomfortable world we're heading into. You ready for it?
Yeah. Be careful. Go ahead. Go ahead here. Go ahead here.
Eustace's horse has never been around cars before, making him skittish and on edge.
There have been a lot of close calls. A lot of vehicles are coming in really tight, and big trailers and tractor trailers, and it's a little bit spooky.
The ride has already taken them 3.5 hours.
God, crazy. I haven't ever ridden this horse down the highway. I've just been keeping him at home, and it's a little more dangerous than I thought it would be. There's a lot of things that are spooking this horse. I hope he'll calm down before I get to town, or I don't know how I'm going to handle him.
We're going along through there, getting traffic backed up behind us. There's nowhere for us to go. And off to our left, down in the holler, is a bonfire going where somebody had stacked a huge pile of brush, and it was blowing right into the road.
Watch out for that fire, Preston. There's a big fire over here.
Yeah, there is. So we move into this smoke and this heat from a fire, and it's just blowing right straight at us, and our horses can feel it. They're sensing, like, what are you doing? You're taking us into this flame. You could sense them just tense up, and you could feel them moving inside there.
Dangers on the road is just the curves and hardly any shoulder, basically people running into you.
As they enter the city limits, drivers become more aggressive and impatient.
Let's cut off on a side street here. If I see a big old truck coming, Preston, that thing scares me. I think we can cut over.
There it is.
Here we go, green light.
With traffic closing in and surrounding the horses, they begin to get spooked.
This might be the last thing we ever do, Eustace.
I didn't know my horse was gonna be as spooky as he was. He's skirting sideways. It was really something to handle. He wasn't completely within control. Any one of these many hundreds of cars that's passing could kill me, kill my horse.
High in the mountains of Alaska, Marty Maiorato has been battling the winds for the past 2 days.
The challenge in a sheep hunt or any hunt is, you know, battling the weather.
This morning, he begins to hunt for wild sheep so he can provide enough food for his family.
I woke up in the morning and there was a lot of fog floating around.
After finally arriving at his favorite spot, the weather throws Marty another curveball.
Mother Nature wins again.
The winds have been constant, but now they've brought in clouds of fog.
We're kind of pinned down for now, but we got to wait for this to lift. We can't start moving around and get in the soup and not know where we're at. Just a waiting game.
After an hour and a half of sitting and waiting, Marty finally sees an opening.
All right, the fog just lifted. Presto bango, there's a sheep over there.
There's only one thing better than looking for sheep, and that's finding them.
Within minutes, his favorite spot pays off.
Hopefully he doesn't wander off.
Marty moves closer to get into a better position.
Ram's just over that ridge. This fog's kind of giving us the edge right now. Okay, he's right over there. I'm going to try to get a scope on him.
Lining up a shot from 350 yards away isn't easy. Marty will also need to account for high winds to remain accurate.
Good shot.
With a limited window, Marty prepares to take the shot.
Good shot. We got him. You can't get luckier than that.
For Marty, the hard work has just begun. He must hike over the rough terrain to retrieve the sheep and then pack it out.
It's rugged country. I mean, it's steep and hard. It's hard on you. It's physically demanding. I'm not a trophy hunter, so I just like getting sheep meat. It's some of the best meat in the woods.
Marty will be able to get 100 pounds of meat from this sheep.
I'm a meat hunter, and the main reason I'm here is to put meat on the table for my family. We haven't bought meat, you know, from a grocery store to bring home and cook for many years, and I hope we never have to.
Combined with the two caribou that he bagged last week, Marty has enough meat to survive the upcoming months.
Take off each chunk of meat, keep her clean, lighten it up, and pack out.
Well, it's going to be a packing 100 pounds over here.
Marty's pack weighs 150 pounds with the added meat. That, coupled with the altitude, will make the five-mile hike back to his plane even more difficult.
Uphill is painful, but downhill is just as painful.
The hike is brutal, but Marty can't afford to rest. And with the winds picking up, Marty's plane is in danger.
You know, it can blow violent enough to pull it off the mountain.
While Marty continues his hike back to the plane, 2,500 miles away in the Yaak Valley of Montana, Tom and Nancy Orr have completed most of their items to sell at the trade show.
We're really pressing to get all the things done that we need to get done, because that's where our income comes from.
Tom still has a few more last-minute things to finish before he hits the road.
Okay.
All right with me.
Whack at me.
I've been cutting Tom's hair since 1970.
During the summertime when it gets warm, a beard just isn't the thing for me to have. Feel that sun.
But the haircut isn't Tom's favorite part.
Tom always says he looks 25 years younger. I think he said 20 this time.
It's how he looks after Nancy's finished.
Oh, I tell Nancy I look 20 years younger. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm 20 years younger. Do I look different, Ellie?
Freshly shaved, Tom still needs to finish prepping for his trip. But with the grizzlies stalking their property, Nancy is concerned about her safety when he's gone. So Tom will teach her how to use his shotgun.
But we've had lots of encounters with animals, and sometimes it just makes a person feel good to have a loaded weapon with them.
When Tom is away, I'm a little more on guard for anything that could come up because you just really don't know what can happen.
Nancy misses her first shot.
Nancy isn't a hunter, but yet it's good to get her out and just shooting a gun. Just very carefully set the tip of your finger on the on the trigger, just a very tippier finger.
While she doesn't shoot often, Nancy's a natural shot.
Ooh, you got him.
With Nancy prepared for the bear, Tom must make his final preparations for the Mountain Man trade show.
We have a very small income, and it's all up to us to do it.
2,500 miles away in North Carolina, Eustace Conway is approaching the end of a 10-mile horse ride. He has been forced to come to town to try and save Turtle Island.
I didn't know my horse was going to be as spooky as he was. He's skirting sideways.
Closing in on his destination, Eustace is rethinking his decision to ride on the main roads.
Any one of these many hundreds of cars that's passing could kill me, kill my horse.
The heavy traffic has pushed Eustace's horse too far.
Hi!
Here I am riding down the highway. My horse nearly fell to his knees. It all came out good, but that sure was a close call. Sometimes they don't come out as good as that.
The land that they're getting ready to take away in a few days is my life. You take a man's land away that's connected to the land in the most sacred, intimate way, that basically you're killing him.
Could ask those guys which way to the courthouse.
With time running out, Eustace and Preston have lost their way.
Hey, guys, you know which way to the courthouse from here?
The courthouse?
Yeah, the courthouse.
It's on King Street. Go straight and then take a left at the next.
Oh, gosh, I'm in the wrong lane.
Now back on track, they move faster, hoping to make it in time.
Hour by hour, minute by minute, you don't know. I had no idea how we were going to make it to the courthouse.
Turtle Island sits nestled in the northwest corner of the state, just near the border of the Cherokee National Forest. Eustace Conway has made his home there for decades, but he's never been in a situation like this before.
You take a man's land away that's connected to the land in the most sacred, intimate way, that basically you're killing him.
He has ridden into town to take back his land, and he's almost there.
Could ask those guys which way to the courthouse. Hey, guys, you know which way to the courthouse from here?
One more turn reveals the courthouse in the distance.
Well, Preston, I didn't know if we'd make it, but I think I see the courthouse up there.
When I saw that American flag and I realized it where the courthouse, it sank in the gravity of the situation, what we were actually doing, what we were accomplishing, and it brought it all home for me.
Now Eustace's fate lies on the other side of a glass door.
Glad we lived through that.
Eustace has fought with everything he has to make the money to save his land.
This mountain means life to me. This mountain is myself. I'm ready to die to take care of this mountain.
But he needs more help.
Even if I sold firewood for the next 80 years, I don't think I'd have enough to pay the debt that I'm in.
It all comes down to this.
I don't know what would happen if he lost that land.
Wish me luck.
Good luck, brother.
My land is sacred to me. It's important beyond description.
So when I open that door to the courthouse, you know, I just say a prayer.
I'll fight for justice, fight for what's right.
While Eustace enters the court, 2,500 miles west in the Rocky Mountains, Tom Orr is gearing up for his trip to the Mountain Man trade show.
What do you think, Ellie? Are we going away, huh? We have to do this stuff just to make a living up here.
All year, he has battled to keep grizzlies and wolves away from his property in one of his hardest years in the mountains.
Well, lots of times out here in the living in the woods like this, we've had lots of encounters. I'll be a mountain man until the day I die. If anybody tries to take that away from me, it's going to be one hell of a fight, I'll tell you that.
Now Tom must sell enough skins, or all his hard work will be for nothing.
The deer skins and the clothing that we sell, that's really our income of the year, is what I make.
He needs enough money to support their lifestyle in Montana.
Mostly what I sell the best of is my brain tan buckskins.
But for Nancy, it is always hard when Tom leaves.
When Tom's not around, it's a little more of an uneasy feeling because I am by myself. You just feel a little more uneasy being alone. It's always very empty when he leaves.
Tom has no other choice but to leave her behind. He can't afford to fail.
Leaving Nancy home alone, it always kind of bothers me, but if it came to having to use a gun, she's capable of using it.
2,500 miles to the northwest, Marty Maiorato has just completed his second successful hunt of the season.
Sheep hunting's one of the harder hunts you can do.
Marty was forced to land his plane further from the hunting grounds, and that means a longer hike back.
You know, you just want to get it over with, and it's a heavy job.
With miles to go, Marty struggles to stay on his feet, but he must keep going.
You're packing out, in the back of your mind, you're worried about the plane. You know, it can blow violent enough to maybe pull it off the mountain.
If the wind picks up any more than this, though, then I'll be really worried.
The journey, with a 150-pound pack at 8,000 feet of altitude, has begun to take its toll.
We got quite a bit farther to go with a heavier pack, but we just got to go slow. As long as you put a little country behind you with every step, you're getting somewhere. It's kind of a young man's game, because it's pretty physical, and I'm not getting any younger. Well, there she is. Survives another one. Legs feel like rubber bands. Airplane, the end of the hike. Top that last rise and see your plane sitting there just the way you left it, knowing you only have that distance to go. Pretty good feeling. Got a sheep for the year. Got meat in the freezer. Been a good day.
Marty still has more work ahead. He must untie the plane and battle the winds to get home.
It's a relief to be back, but then the next thing I'm thinking is I want to get this plane off this mountain.
Gotta untie this plane, get her turned around, face downhill. Just gotta try and get this old bird off the top of this hill.
Marty's flight to the hunting ground, normally a five-hour journey, took him more than 48 hours to complete, making him eager to get out of the mountains before the weather turns.
It's a good feeling to lay the whip to the old plane and get airborne and get out of there.
The hunt isn't over for Marty. He must get back to his preparations for the upcoming winter. And that's just another day in the life of a mountain man. Next season on Mountain Men, Eustace's fate is revealed.
If people take my land, I don't have a chance.
Marty is determined to make his winter more productive.
As far as how many I'm catching, you don't know what to expect.
Tom struggles to sell his skins at the show.
Well, who knows what the future is going to bring? I'll just ride it out and do whatever I got to do.
And new mountain men, like the Lion Hunter, emerge from all across America.
I intimidate people for some reason. I'm not going to conform to their society.
I live by one motto: make my day, mother.